Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, SusieMazzoli-Healer.com, or InsightOasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at ActiveSpirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to ActiveSpirituality.life with Pamela Cuccinelle and me, Susie Mazzoli. And some of you might be very happy to hear that this is the fourth last week of 2020. And Pam will be telling us all about week number 50 of this year, starting on Monday the 7th of December. And then I'm going to jump in, as I do every week, with the activation, a little meditation for 10 minutes. And we certainly hope that you are spreading word about this podcast with all of your family and friends, and that even more people get to join us every week. So, Pam, how does this week look now after our big eclipse from last week? What's happening around town?
Well, the big eclipse from last week was actually the harbinger of the bigger eclipse that happens on December 14th. And cliffhanger, I will talk about that more directly at next week's podcast. But just to say, eclipses travel in pairs. It's what they do. And sometimes we get three in a row, but there's always a partner in crime whenever an eclipse comes in. So the one we had this past week had certain energy. The one that comes next week has very dynamic energy. And as I said, I'll talk more about that at the next podcast, but you can get a primer for it if you go to my website, insightoasis.com, where I have a recent blog that talks about these two eclipses and what they mean in the overall arc of where we're going. But energetically, what you've heard is that we're in this bridge energy between eclipses. And so on December 7th, what we have is the last quarter moon. So what that means is the moon in Virgo is at 90 degrees to the sun in what we call a closing quarter, as the moon will make its return to new, which it will do next week. So quarter moon phases are times of friction. Something is kind of rubbing against something else. So the sun and the moon, how they're geometrically aspected in the sky from our perspective, appear to be a bit at odds with one another. A kind of tug of war energy, if you will. So that, depending on other planetary aspects in the heavens, will tell us what we can expect at this closing quarter energy. So we're in the waning moon cycle. It's a time of completion, of integration, of putting things to rest, of deciding what you're not going to be dealing with as you move into the new moon energy next week. So it's wrapping up energy. Now, obviously, all projects are not wrapping up. It depends what's on the table. So it may be there's projects already in motion that are in this nice kind of groove of let's move this thing along. Monday the 7th is an excellent day for that, especially if you make decisions either the night before or the early morning about what you're doing when. Make sure communications are clear. That's very important. So any missives or notes or correspondence that's gone out, contractual things that you've really dotted your P's dotted your I's and crossed your T's, watched your P's and Q's. That's the way the phrase goes. So that's an example of being very careful about communication, what's being said and how it's being said. So that's what going to add extra value return on what happens on the 7th. And the piece that is really important, the moon is in Virgo, so highly productive, focused day, very good for anything therapeutic that has to do with details, taking care, providing service. All these things are emphasized with this energetically. It's also in the United States Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. So this can be a day of healing, especially as the United States is kind of poised in this very tumultuous time of adaptation and change as we look at what are we forming together as we bring in a new administration, what the values may be, orientation with other countries. Pearl Harbor, the Day of Remembrance, always reminds people historically, if they're paying attention, of the Great War that basically put the United States as this kind of big world power. And so it's an interesting reflection, because the moon in Virgo isn't so much about being the big, like, honcho, but more about, are we taking care of the details? Is everyone at the table? Are we providing adequate service? So these are very interesting themes to have on this particular day, especially wedged between these two revelatory eclipses. So some people will be paying attention. As a conversation I had earlier with several people talking about people who come into the world with physical challenges, whatever they may be, physical or mental challenges, and how the awareness has really accelerated for many people about how able, productive, useful, necessary these human beings are. And so it's that kind of attention to, are we becoming more conscious, that I think is the big theme of this particular bridge week for those of us who are paying attention and working on consciousness evolution. The evening really calls for meditation, for quiet, for therapeutic things, really quiet the body down. Nourishing food before 8 p.m. is ideal so that the body can do what it needs to do and you can close down into providing yourself with the best energy possible for the ongoing week. Otherwise, I think those of us who have not made time for that will feel a bit confused, a sense of feeling kind of lost or lost my track or what am I doing really? And so it's not a productive evening, especially later in the evening, to be burning the night oil or trying to accomplish something that really is not where we're at. Energetically, we want to get into the quiet, get into the universal unconscious. It would be ideal to go to sleep a little earlier than usual, take a bath, do anything that calms the system down. On the 8th, Tuesday, the moon goes void, of course, at 5:35 p.m. And before it does that, which basically is the lion's share of the productive workday, and all these times are Eastern time, so please adjust depending on where you are. This is a highly productive day, a day where so much can be accomplished, where we feel a sense of crossing things off the list, excellent day to recharge, do things that are beneficial to your body, do things that are beneficial for your overall mental health. Excellent, excellent day for this. Also a great day for working in a pod or a coworker environment, doing things that help the machine work more smoothly, address issues or things that may not be, well, you know, Mary's skill is better at this and Joseph does that. And how can we make this all work in a way that's much more cohesive and beneficial for all? Very good day for that. Also excellent day to spend time with your four-legged friends or pets, any animal that you have a relationship, or even if you don't, woods environments, nature environments, responding to nature around you. Excellent day to spend some time in nature. The results of the healing results of your time spent in nature is exponential on December 8th. The moon goes void, of course, at 5:35 p.m., and this, again, excellent recharge time. And then it goes into Libra at 7:01 p.m. And once it's in the sign of Libra, then we're in energy that's a little more fraught. We may not feel it initially. It could be a good evening for a Zoom party or talking to people, old friends, family members, people you want to connect with, people within your home, or cultural stimulus. Excellent evening for those things. On the 9th, or looking into things that have to do with justice, social justice, higher mind things, things that expand your mental world. On the 9th, this is still true. The thing that's different is that there's a Sun-Neptune picture in the sky. And what's happening when the Sun squares Neptune is that the activation energy that has to do with where are we shining, how, let's throw some light on this, let's see this situation for what it is a bit obfuscated. Things are not as clear as we would like them to be. So if you're engaged in some sort of discussion or contractual work or medical discussion or anything that has to do with something that you're trying to understand, there can be some confusion. It's very important that you get the information you need and to doggedly keep asking questions or pushing through it. The ideal is to wait until after mid-afternoon passes, because as we get into the late afternoon, early evening, things may start to, the fog can start to burn off. We can start to get the information we need, and communication comes through much, much clearer. So if you're in some sort of discussion, if you can delay concretizing or signing the dotted line until after we get into later afternoon, after 3 p.m. Eastern time, then the missing pieces may start to come into vision. You get much more clarity. Evening, late afternoon, very, very good for convivial relaxation, conversation, things like that. Now on the 10th, this is when we get the friction that actually occurs from when the moon is in Libra. So that's why anything started on the 10th, if it has an ongoing basis, may get interrupted or encounter hurdles or things that were unanticipated when you first put it into discussion. So that's why it's best to avoid anything that might be ongoing or need a contractual spin out or have something that's important declared. We don't always have the luxury of pushing things back. So that's why we astrologers say forewarned is forearmed. So what can I tell you about overall outcome of anything initiated the evening of the 8th or on the day of the 9th into the day of the 10th? The moon goes void, of course, at 7:56 on the 10th. And at that point in time, we're in this window of about an hour when it's void, of course, until it enters the sign of Scorpio at 8:59 p.m., which brings us into very different energy than the energy I'm going to talk about on the, most of the day on the 10th. So let me talk about this. So the moon is in the sign of Libra on the 10th, which overall, Libra, if you read about Libra in a sun sign column, it'll tell you, oh, Librans are, they like to make nice, have things harmonious, beautiful eye for design, love culture, might be very good at legal affairs, negotiation, diplomacy, all of this is true. But then the other side is that Libra is also the sign of the master strategist, Eisenhower, a brilliant general and then a president of the United States, was a Libra. So Librans can be very good at looking at the overall picture and working out their strategy, which actually is aggressive, not necessarily all harmonious and sweetness and light. Because in the end, what they're seeking, of course, is peace, harmony, sweetness, and light. But they are willing to do what they must do to go to battle to have that achieved. Now, this is really emphasized on the day of the 10th because several things come into play. The moon is opposed Libra. The moon is opposed Mars in the wee hours of the day. So that may not color necessarily the overall tenor of the day, but it does affect. It's like the seed energy that comes in. Maybe some of us are dreaming. It depends where we are on the planet. But what it does is it sets up this kind of confrontational energy. And then there's a picture in the sky between Venus and Pluto, which really has this very powerful energy that's about emphasizing wealth, power. And this can be very dynamic and very beneficial. But what's important is, again, it's like the long-term strategist, is to look at the game and how you're playing it in a way that's delivered with grace and effectiveness. And how well you play it has to do with your personal horoscope, where and your comfort zone with discussions, mitigation, how the long game is played. Because once we get into late morning, that's when the power struggles may really start to show. You may be feeling it earlier than that, of course, depending on your personal horoscope. But that's really when it starts to show, is emphasized. And for some of us, it may be a very challenging morning, afternoon into early evening, because Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn are all coming into square aspect with that moon. And that lineup is really a lot about challenging. And it challenges us on what we're emotionally invested in. So for some of us, we're going to feel this very personally, depending on our relationship with the sign of Libra or where that moon is moving through our personal horoscope. So if you find yourself in a power struggle or some sort of difficulty with another person, recognize it as a brokering for power and personal authority. And so what's important is to not get kind of sucked into whatever is petty, small, redirected, manipulative, and keep your eye on the long-term strategy, whatever that may be. And sometimes the best strategy is to retreat. So if you find yourself in these situations, weigh them, decide what is the best strategy, because sometimes we can't retreat, and make decisions based on whatever your long-term goal or vision is with the discussion, contract, situation, whatever you're involved in. So once the moon enters the sign of Scorpio, 8:59 p.m., very different energy, water, fixed, tenacious. And so and also it's working more with the planets that the moon travels and engages with than the Libra moon just did. So this can be a great time to kind of assess losses, figure out how am I working going forward? Okay, I learned that from this experience. So how am I now going to position myself? So it can be very helpful on certainly recharging. Might be best to just, again, make an early relaxing evening of it. But on the 11th, what we're into is that moon in Scorpio. And the most important thing to be aware of on this particular day is if, for those of us who are out in the early morning or even just moving around and not paying attention to what you're doing much, you want to be paying attention to what you're doing. Because there's a surprise, upset, out of the box element to the early morning of the 11th. And whatever that is that you get engaged with, you want it to be something you can work with, not something that derails you or catches you in a situation that you can't adapt to. So it's neutral energy, not necessarily good or bad, but that's why the more alert we are, the more we're able to work with it in a way that's positive. And overall, I see this as being a very dynamic day, a day when tremendous things can get accomplished. If you're working on something long-term, you can really move through it. It can be absolutely amazing in relationships, people who you're in dialogue with, that you want to strengthen the relationship, very deep, very, very intense. So not a day that you want to necessarily spend with someone who you'd rather not get to know very deeply, but maybe you'll find that, wow, there was a lot more to this person than I had thought. The 12th also has this tremendous dynamic energy and can be so, the return for what you put in this day is tremendous. So projects you're working on, things that you want to put into position, especially as we get into the new moon of next week, which is also an eclipse. This is a great day to heal old wounds, slough off anything that doesn't serve you anymore, get really focused on that prize, the goal, the reward that you're running for. Powerhouse day. The moon goes void, of course, at 8:58 p.m. and then enters the sign of Sagittarius at 9:39 p.m. And so in the void time, again, rest, recharge, clean up, don't start anything. But once it enters the sign of Sagittarius, then we're in that energy that's moving towards the new moon. And the new moon, I will talk at length about on Monday. As I said, you can read about it on my blog. But the most important thing, I think, as late Saturday evening, Sunday, is that you work on removing, recycling, shedding things that you don't want to bring into the next lunar cycle, and get really clear on what you want to emphasize for the end of 2020, because we're leaving this 4-year and we're entering a 5-year. And so energetically, the work, the real hard work that we've been doing this year is where we've built a structure, a new foundation has been built. And the question is, how are we forging it to create the integrity of what we want to make happen in the coming years? So you do that personally, and energetically, it affects the whole. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Wow, sounds like we've got a lot to work with. And perhaps a lot of hope and faith to look forward with as well, it sounds like, Pam.
Indeed. That's the best way to approach it, always. Super. I'm very optimistic.
Okay. Miss Optimism, off we go. Let's share that optimism, everybody. Take your seat, take your cushion, take that place for just 10 minutes of Turbo Boost. And take a few deeper breaths, feel yourself arriving, being here now. And let's just let the brain relax a little bit after receiving all that wonderful information. Just allow ourselves to sit. And as you're sitting, just feel all of the information, all of the energy. Everything just settling down. And as we are settling down, just notice if anything is really weighing on you, if there is anything that is very heavy in that sitting down. What things are on your mind that feel like a burden or a heaviness? And just notice if that is something that you can deal with. Is it something that you can change? Is it something that you can act upon? And just start to engage the mind in actually becoming aware of how you feel. So why do I feel a bit agitated? Or why do I feel a bit constricted? Or why do I feel happy? Why do I feel sad? And most of us, we just stay in that feeling. We stay in that feeling for a very long time, sometimes our whole life. But let's go a little bit further and just try to take that apart. Have a look at it, untangle it. Can I do something about it? Can I not do something about it? Can I change the direction? Can I pivot? And here, maybe the perfect time is to look at, do I still need this on my plate? Do I still need this obligation? Do I still need to do this? Do I still need to feel like this? Can I recycle this? Can I reduce it? Can I do something else? Allow the freedom, allow the optimism, allow openness and space to come in. Allow it to come in everywhere. And just see now what needs to move and what can move. And don't see anything right now as impossible. Work really hard to find movement and space in everything. Because that is what the natural energy of everything is, that it is open, that there is space. It is perhaps our minds and our conditions that constrict us only. So let's open it up. And as we're opening up, we literally feel our energy, the energy field that we are opening up. And as you're feeling this attitude of opening in our mind, our heart, our body, just look into bits and pieces of yourself. The ingredients, I like to call it, the ingredients of myself. And just notice what would happen if I swapped out one of those ingredients. If I swapped out, for example, the butter in the chocolate cake for coconut oil, what would happen? What happens when, for example, I change my cake from being a vegetarian cake using butter and eggs into a vegan cake, a cake that doesn't use any animal products? What happens when I swap out the ingredient of anger that might be a fairly easy emotional state for me to be in, or frustrated, if we take it back a step? What happens if I change out that ingredient of me, of my personality, and I change it out for patience? As you take a deep breath, just have a look at what are bits and pieces of yourself you can swap out. What are bits and pieces that you can flip, pivot, change? What are bits and pieces that you can say to yourself, I have seen this, known this, been this state for a really long time? Have I learned the lesson here? Can I change it now? And the answer is always yes. We can always step up to the plate and make a change. Maybe a little change. Maybe just a tiny, wincy little bit. But at least it is a change. Or perhaps we can change a lot. Like from one day to the next, the decision is made and we can implement. What are we able to do? How far are we able to take this today? Let's start today. Just easily and gently. Not against the grain, just in places where we can, where it comes to us easily. We implement a little change. We replace something in our recipe. And as we delve deeply into our breath and into ourself. We look at what it is right now today we would like to identify as something within ourselves we would like to change. And what's a great thing to change usually is something in ourselves that we see in others that we don't like. But usually there's a bit of that in ourselves too. That's usually one that's pretty obvious and glaring to us in others. It might be harder to find in ourselves, but it's there. And underneath all the layers of this self, within every single ingredient, we know that there is a teaching, that there is growth, and that it is all a part of the so-called divine. That we're really never changing anything completely. We're just kind of changing the way that it manifests, the way that it is. Because underneath everything, underneath all of the layers, there is just the energy. One might call it the consciousness or the vital force. And that is pure. And as you deepen into that layer of purity in yourself, knowing that you have the freedom to go in 10,000 million different directions, and knowing that all of those directions are literally a manifestation of the divine, and that we have freedom, total freedom, to go in all of these directions, giving us space, giving us awareness, allowing us to be here in this precious human life. And as we take a few deeper breaths in and out, feeling that opening and freedom spreading out to all beings everywhere with optimism, with hope, and with the ability to change, to bring about change, to be change. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Pamela. And we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.
You have been listening to Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinell of ActiveSpirituality.life. If you've enjoyed this program, consider a donation. You can find the link for that, ActiveSpirituality.life. Regardless, we look forward to having you join us again for next week's podcast. Please share and have a great week.